Okay, so we're good to go. Three, two. All right. Hey guys, welcome back again to the Not Gonna Lie podcast. This is the podcast where we talk everything in life, about life, and all around life. Because not gonna lie, I thought life would be easier. But it turns out things happen, such as pandemic. Go figure. So today we have another guest. That I'm excited to have a conversation with. And this is somebody that I have known for quite a number of years. Yeah. Actually,
Yeah,
how long have we known each other? Like, what, since
I think
20?
like I was still in high school when we first met.
Yeah, like 2015, I think. 15, 14?
Oh yeah, 2015. Oh no, I graduated in 2015, so I'm pretty sure it's like a bit
2014.
before that.
Wow, well, that is 7 years.
Yeah,
What?
time flies though. Doesn't
Time
feel
flies.
like
No,
it's been
yes,
7 years.
exactly. Time flies. And again, since you were in high school, I remember that. And then you went to university and now you're working. So, yeah, again, time flies. So, this is somebody that I've known for about 7 years now, and somebody that I know, for one, is a lot of fun, and every time I see her with a smile on her face with her siblings and then with her mom, it's there's this very warm feeling about you, honestly. So thank you so much for agreeing to do this with us. So if it's okay, can I just ask you to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thanks for having me. So, my name is Ivana. I'm 24, and like Will said, I've known Will for 7 years. Now I work. I already graduated university, and well, I work in bilateral NGO, non-governmental organization, in the field of international relations. So I think that's
Yeah,
enough.
that covers a lot. So that's awesome though, because again, we're gonna touch point on a few things. Like for example, like why did you choose going for your first job to an NGO rather than the typical kind of like a corporate job, right? So we're gonna talk about that in a bit and just share what the thought process behind that decision, right? So if it's okay. But I just want to kind of like ask about your thought about education. So, one, is it important? And two, did you learn anything throughout kind of like your years going through the education journey from the K-12 program, the primary until the high school, and then also getting through universities? Do you think that that helps you to equip you, per se, right, for your job right now?
I've always been like a very strong believer in the fact that education is a form of empowerment, and I think I've held on to that like throughout my study, especially in like university where I was taking like international relations, where like education is in fact like something that is being worked on with the UN SDGs. So just like random fact that in the UN SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, I think if I'm not mistaken, like one of the goals is the fact that they want more children in this world to actually go through this K-12 system of education, because I believe that what they also think is that education is empowerment, and when children especially are empowered with like the knowledge that helps them like open their perspective to like new things and stuff, like I think that's where like the main benefit of education is. Wait, what's the second part of the question?
Okay, so that's great. So, okay, so just for those who don't really know, can you clarify what UNSDG is?
Okay, so UN, the United Nations, it's the I think world's largest international organization we're all different
with a lot of divisions. Yes.
Yeah, very. Yeah. And I believe that SDGs is like one, I would say, like section under the United Nations organization that works on the development of underdeveloped countries or developing countries. So I think they have like a couple of goals that they want to achieve by a certain target year.
Okay.
And
one of them would be to put more people or children through the K-12 program, right?
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, it is the K-12 program.
Okay. So that's awesome though. But when you said, and when you elaborate on the why they would want to promote this for more children to go through these program, it was like you said about because they believe that as children are exposed to more knowledge, their world will be opened up and they would see the world on a larger scale. I'm just paraphrasing a lot of things, but that's kind of like the essence of it, right? But and then going to the second question was about, with your own experience though, after going through the K-12 program, like the K-12 journey, right? Were you able to take away something that was helpful as you went through your university journey?
I would say maybe, well, in my personal experience, where I went to school for was it like primary and secondary school and high school? There wasn't like a specific subject in which I was like, oh, this is my favorite subject. Like, I know I'm good in this one thing. So I think for me personally, like those years in school, what would you call it? Like, not like higher education. Like, I wouldn't say it's primary education, but it's like primary school, secondary school, high school. Those years of school for me was kind of like a testing ground for me to figure out what I wanted to do in university and what I wanted to do in terms of my career.
Okay, so keep on going. I have something that I want to ask about that later.
Okay. Because I wouldn't say like in terms of like substantial knowledge that I took away a lot. I mean, I can definitely say that like things I learned in biology, very like basic like biological facts about like my own body and stuff, that is useful to me in everyday life if it's like you get sick and stuff. But say like geography, learning about like the levels of precipitation of rain, like I never use that. SINCOS 10, I never use that. But I think it's different for like people. Like I think maybe if you were pursuing like engineering, it would have been like useful for you to like excel in math. But like I said, I think for me those years in education were more of like a testing ground because there wasn't necessarily like a lot that was catering to my interests.
Okay. Wow. That last part was very interesting. There was not a lot of things that catered to your interests. So does that mean most of the subjects that you had to take? Because again, when it comes to school, you can't really pick and choose like you can when you're in college or university, right? So you're pretty much stuck with either the core subjects, or you are stuck, and so you're stuck with the core subjects, and then you're stuck with some elective or some package subjects that you kind of like have to go through, whether you're taking business or you're taking science classes, right? And this is something that I kind of like want to circle around when you said it became a testing ground that you took those years to figure out what you want to do in university.
Mm-hmm.
So two things coming out of that. So number one would be, how did you figure it out, right? So what mm-hmm. are the things that you did, or was there anything to help you to kind of like figure it out? And two, was it more about, again, what was provided by the school that helped you out to figure things out?
How did I figure out that I wanted to do in university?
Yeah.
I think it's like something that was kind of like embedded in me, I guess, for like a really long time, like ever since I was small.
Okay.
The thing is, like, I think it depends for everybody. I think some people are like lucky to know, like from a very young age, like what they're passionate in and what they want to do when they grow up. Mm-hmm. Whereas other people kind of like figure it out later because they don't have like necessarily like preference maybe when they're younger. For me myself, I believe that since I was a child, because I was put into places of education where I was exposed to a lot of like international, like I wouldn't say, I don't want to say vibes, like it's not a vibe. International, like youth, like, international
community.
Community is the word.
I mean, mm-hmm. It's international, like, vibe. That's completely fine.
Yeah.
We're vibing.
But yeah, so I was gonna say, like, because like I was fortunate enough to be like raised in like an international community with like my parents and everything. I think that I already knew that I was going to like kind of lean into that like scene. So I think from a very young age, I remember when I first, like, I think it was like my first term in secondary school, and I had like a history class. And I remember in that first term, but only in that first term, did I ace that history class. But it was okay. Only the first term. I don't know where my motivation went. But I think like because I aced that first history exam, I was like, I think I like history. Like, because in history you learn about like European history and like what happened and like the politics of it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was like appealing to me.
Okay.
And I made the mistake in like the later years of secondary school of not pursuing that.
Okay.
So I actually like for some deranged reason decided to pursue like a more like scientific like field
stream.
Stream of education, which I did not enjoy. I did not excel in that either. And I think like at that time, like the choices as I got like the more I progressed into high school, like the choices of like subjects for me were like not that interesting. There wasn't like, I don't know, maybe it was me, like maybe I felt like these subjects weren't interesting for me, these are too technical, these are too like numerical for me. I was like, no, I'm not touching that, it's numbers. So when I was applying for university, I kind of already knew like I'm definitely going into humanities.
Okay.
I'm definitely going into politics. I mean, like, not like politics isn't like I want to be a politician.
Yeah. But like, I mean, like, there are various ways of like, I think like, I get what you mean, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, I eventually applied for university. It was very like half-assed. Like, I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna apply, I'm gonna see if I get accepted or not. If I don't get accepted, then I'm just gonna apply to another place. But then I did get accepted, and I think like it was very like relieving to me that I was finally able to go into school, which is like university, and finally study something that I was like, oh, I love this subject, like,
okay,
let
no,
me learn every
yeah.
day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So that's how I felt. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so just to summarize it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But it does sound like what there was a change in terms of one, motivation, and two, effort, because in university it caters to your interests much more than it was in during your high school or junior high, basically.
Yeah, right? Significantly. Like
significantly, and based on that, I can assume, and again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, the results, like academically, right, looked very different.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because again, you are interested in the major, therefore the subjects and everything that you are selecting is based on your choice, and that reflects on your interests, the things that you would like to pursue more, to understand more, to know more, to learn more, and that resulted in a very dramatic change, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely.
Okay. So that's kind of like why I kind of like want to have this conversation and then continue from that would be because it sounds like during the high school year, it seems and it sounds like as long as I survive this, I'm good.
Definitely. I felt like I barely survived, like academically, I barely survived. Like I really felt like I don't know if it was like maybe the like a bunch of contributing factors, one maybe being like the academic environment that I was in, that like all my friends were like either like really good at like physics and really good at like accounting, and I wasn't good at like either of them. And then maybe like also the fact that at that age, or like at that stage in my life in university, I mean like in university, in high school, I wasn't like fully aware of like the opportunities or like the other different kinds of like education that I would be able to pursue in like my older years. So I was kind of like, I would say I was kind of lost. I think that's like the best way to like describe that time in my life.
All right.
I was like lost in terms of like what am I good at? Like, I'm not good at anything.
Okay. So, but that's the thing though. And hear me out for a second. And I just want to ask you this. Do you think there's also the factor in which there was just no subject that fits into your interests at the time? Right?
Yeah.
Because like you said, like when you did history, you loved the politics, you loved the kind of like the movement of people. I think like history is about the movement of people, right? Whether it was through war, politics, religion and war, or being used to. So it's those kind of movement of people, and to see what happens with in one country and in another country. And then you see how, you know, sometimes with the world war, how many countries that are involved with each other and all those things, did that intrigue you, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you aced it, right? So do
for
you think,
term.
I mean, yeah, but then again, do you think that if schools, at least during your time, were to provide more subjects that can cater to your interests, right? Do you think you would have done a better job in learning at least?
I would say like, well, actually very like, when I first had that like history class and I found out that I was really like interested in history, that there were actually like a lot of subjects that we were exposed to. So we weren't only exposed to like a specific stream.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like we had like the maths and the sciences, we had like a bit of the humanities. but I think like as we got older, like the choices like began to like narrow.
Yeah.
So it's more like right? Like as you progress, they're like, oh, you gotta pick like one stream. You gotta go like either the mathy way or you gotta go like the businessy way. And I'm like, I'm neither. So where do I go?
But what if there is a stream that fits your interests?
Like, yeah, I guess maybe like, if I look back at it right now, like, I mean, wait, one of my considerations was like, you know how like the Indonesian national like education program has like the choice for students to go either in IPS, which is like science, and then like
no, oh, IPS is social science.
The other way around. I know. Ketahuan.
Ketahuan gak pernah sekolah. It's all good. It's all good.
IPS so, is like
yeah,
social.
Yeah, yeah, social science. Yeah,
it's like
the sciences.
Like,
yeah,
yeah, sciences, right? And then like I always compared that with like the curriculum that I was in, and I was like why didn't we have social sciences? But the thing is, like, I don't actually know what they learned in social sciences, like in specific.
Okay, so social sciences would be you have anthropology, learning about humans, learning about the culture and, you know, all those things. Lineage would be a closer term to anthropology. And then you have sociology. Again, we are learning about what makes a social dynamic works, and you know, from culture to groups to all those things. And then we learn also history, yes, geography, yes. We learn accounting is elective. Yeah, those things. Economy. Yeah, yeah, we learn about economy.
So it's actually like not too different from like the curriculum that like I was going
through. Yeah, but I think like outside of anthropology and sociology, I think the other things would be the, and history, I think, because like I don't think we teach history.
No. Like I didn't get, I think like after like ninth grade, like, or no, like probably like towards the two like last years of high school, like we didn't have like any like humanities subjects. Yeah. Or at least like in my year, I didn't have it.
Even now, we only have one.
Really? Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, one is better than nothing. Like,
yeah, I know.
But, like in my high school report card, it's like all failure.
Right. So again, I think like the reason why I'm asking is because like I had a conversation before as well. And this sounds like the same pattern. Right. Mm-hmm. Where once you are exposed, or once you are like, I would say exposed to two things, to your interests and then to your own decision, then you take so much more responsibility to be accountable to yourself because of your decision that is your interest. So there's no excuse for you to say like, oh, like I failed because of whatever. Again, it's your decision. So you have that responsibility, but at the same time, you're having fun learning because, again, this is catering to your interests, right?
Definitely.
Right. So I like, because like that sounds, unfortunately, like you said before, there are still a lot of students who are not fortunate enough to not know still what they would like to do in life.
I don't blame them though. I mean, like it's a very like individual thing, because like even like when I was in university, like I was one of those people that I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'm here, like finally. But then there are like other people that are like, oh, I took international relations because I didn't know what else to like take in university.
To be honest, but that was me.
I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, like, how are my friends like who took like IR, but they didn't like eventually pursue like a kind of like an IR career. But I was thinking like, oh, I'm not like, I don't know, like I don't want to say this applies for like high school, but like at least in the university context, like if you weren't very sure of what you wanted to take in university, and say you decided last minute that you wanted to take IR, then at least from taking IR, you're able to like gain some practical skill, maybe in like public speaking, or maybe you figure out that you're good in like communication and persuasion, or maybe yeah. that you're good in like arguing with people, which is like a skill, I guess, to have in this world. So it's like not necessarily like you have to take away something like not substantial, what's the word, like you don't have to take away like facts, you don't have to take away like trivial knowledge about the particular subject, but if even if you take away like a skill, in my opinion, that's already like it's worth something.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess like that's like a good segue to my next question for you would be, and I think like in part you already answered it. So it does again sound like yes, all the things that you learned during your university time helped, right? Either skill wise in terms of, like you said, public speaking and all those things, or the actual content that you're learning from various classes to help you doing your work now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's kind of like where I want to talk about more in terms of just, is there a connectivity between what you have learned throughout the K-12 like journey, like the primary and then to the secondary and then to the high school, from that 12 years, does it connect to what you are learning in university? And then from the, like university, normally these days you take about 3 to 4 years, right? For most majors, some specific ones goes to like 7 years out, and that'll be like, you know, like if you want to be a doctor, but normally people go through like 3 to 4 years. So that means you are finishing about 16 years of study. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time. 16 years. Wow. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. Now that I think about it. So 16 years of your education journey. Does it feel like everything that you have learned so far connects, or a better way of putting it would be like, does it equip you in doing whatever it is that you're doing right now in your job? Does it help you or give you an advantage or give you or basically prepare you for anything that you encounter during doing your job?
Like, honestly, I can't say much about like what I learned in, I would say, like secondary school and high school, because I think that's like quite a long time ago.
Okay.
There's like a lot of like going through my mind, because what I'm thinking is like, I can't say like with confidence that like, yeah, like I definitely brought things that I learned in like high school to my job now, but there are some like basic skills that I would say was like I don't know what the English word, but it's like biasa. I wouldn't say there's like right off the bat I can say like there's like definitely something that I took away from high school that helps me with my work now, but I can say like what I'm thinking is like definitely in high school there has been a lot of practice for me for my skills, especially like in terms of like writing, which I think like specifically to this curriculum that I studied in high school, like writing was like a thing. Like I used to write like 10 page papers like with my hands. So like
Ups to you.
exactly. So I think like things like that, yeah, I bring definitely to like university, I bring it to my work, but for me, it's like more of like what I learned at university that is what is helping me like progress and what I can apply to in my work, because like my field of work is like very specific.
Yeah.
So I think it requires like a very specific knowledge that you need
and skill set, I'm sure,
to working. So like, yeah, I think I would say like definitely more like university wise that has helped me.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I just want to like, okay, can I just add like thing that I realized is like, it really depends on your career path. So like, I have a lot of friends who like take IR and then eventually when they work, they pick like a corporate job. By corporate, I mean like, it's more in like the
traditional business. Kind of like you work office.
Maybe as like marketing or maybe as like communication, where they don't, I wouldn't say they don't need, but like the knowledge that you learn like about history and like a specific country isn't applicable to your work. Whereas like if you're like, oh, I want to pursue like my career in international relations, which means like you're either going to be a diplomat, you're either going to work for like an international organization or a non-governmental organization, but it's still international. Like these fields of work require a very like high like level of knowledge for me,
because it is very specific, like, right?
For me to progress in my career, like I've realized this like at this age, which is like I'm 24, but I've realized it at this age that if like I want to progress with my career in international relations, even if I want to like move to another organization, say like World Health Organization, or I want to work in like environment, or if I want to work in like food security, I would have to take another level of higher education. So I would have to take my master's degree,
because
for that job, like even if it's like a program officer, like no, you like ESATU doesn't cut it. Like you can't make it with ESATU because it does require like a very
Okay, so that's awesome though. That's awesome that, okay, so first of all, that the fact that you are set, I'm not gonna use the word dead set. I think like, again, there are probably things in life that sometimes kind of like we encounter more. So there's still that kind of chance. Like, but from what I'm hearing, I think that you're set with this career choice, right? And I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you love your job, you love what you do, and you do want to pursue it and progress kind of like with this career path. So I think that that's really, really awesome. And you know what you want to do in order for you to, again, continue and grow with this career. So my thing then, in terms of looking at our education system, and a couple of questions pops into my head would be, number one, is it working in terms of preparing students to, again, identify what they want to do in life and then prepare them for that? Because it sounds like, oh, we're just going to shove a bunch of different knowledge from various areas of subject areas into you guys, and then you guys figure it out, right? So our job is just to shove all kinds of information to you. And at the end of the day, you decide what you want to do with it, right? And that's just going to be our job. Mm-hmm. For me, that sounds horrible. For me, that sounds horrible, because I agree with you when you said in the beginning that the UN SDG, one of the goals is to educate more children, to give them general knowledge. I agree with that. To open their world, I agree with that. So their perspective of what's going on with the world becomes wider and becomes broader. And I agree with that. But I don't see that reflected in our educational system right now, in which we are then presenting you with, let's say, 12 subjects, and you have to take all 12 subjects, and then you have to survive or thrive or be successful with all 12 subjects, right? But I can't believe that any student, any normal child has that brain capacity to already deal with the 12 subjects and also have to figure out what they want to do in life, right? Even with the help of the parents, or let's say, or you know, the family asking them, so what do you want to do with life? For me, it feels like, you know what, I'm going to survive this 12 first, and then I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like how I went about it. I think like in your like first couple of years of like, say, even secondary education, because I think that's when like they start expecting that you kind of like recognize like what you want to do like in the future. Mm-hmm. Definitely like you'll be exposed to all of these different subjects and you'll kind of figure out like which one you're good at and which one you're not good at, and or which one you like or which one you don't like. Like I can't, like at this moment in time, like I can't really like think of the like the UN SDG goal and also like this education system like together, like not combined together, but more of like a parallel kind of thing. Like I've never thought about it like in a situation where it's like we're trying to expose children to like different subjects of education, but at the same time it's kind of like confusing them or like demotivating them.
Yeah, right. I feel like that's sort of like the thing that I kind of want to bring up as well, because the argument would be the counter argument would be like, it's because we would like to expose them to as many fields as possible in order for them to be able to at the very least estimate what they are interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That would be the counter, right? So that's why they give all of these subjects, they kind of like present it to the students or to the children. And therefore the hope would be for them to be able to recognize what they would want to do based on what they're interested in or what they excel in. Right. Okay. But does it work that way?
I just thought about this, but like, I think, I don't want to say that I'm right, but I was thinking that possibly the solution to that would be that when these children are actually like going through like these 12 different subjects, then the emphasis shouldn't be on like you need to pass this certain grade, because then that's going to like determine that you're a failure. Like, you know, it's like the
demoralizing
factor. That's kind of harsh,
right?
Like the factor that makes, or at least like that made me demotivated like back in the day, was like the fact that I felt like I was expected to hit like A grades all the time.
Yeah.
And like, even if I wasn't good at the subject, even if I didn't understand it, even if I did not want to understand it, like it was like, you gotta get an A, like otherwise you're a failure. Like, that's like the one that like demotivates you to like learn. Whereas I think like if you're like approaching the education system in a sense that you want to expose children to like different subjects of knowledge, different like perspectives, then I think you shouldn't emphasize,
there shouldn't be a great system, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm, exactly. I feel like I read like an article about this that was like, I don't know who or like what, like I think say for example, like did you hear the news like I think a couple of months ago, or was it like last year, that was saying that the Indonesian Minister of Education was looking to eliminate kayak hapusin the UN national
exam. I think it was last year. A couple of months after he took office, I think.
I believe in his intention was like kind of like in that direction, in the sense that like be like constantly testing, constantly expecting like a grade, and constantly like putting a threshold. Like, yeah, I know the threshold is there to gauge whether or not like your teaching is like effective to the children, or whether the children are taking away something, but emphasis to the result, emphasis to getting a high grade, is what takes the fun away from learning. Yeah, whereas like when you learn, you have to be able to enjoy it in order for you to like fully like be engaged and fully be
understand and grasp the content, right?
Like, even if you don't like the subject, say like I don't like math, if I didn't like math, but it wasn't being constantly like underlined, like, oh, you have to pass math. If it's like, if you're not good at math, then it's okay. But the important thing is that you can take away something from learning math. I wouldn't say I would be more motivated, but I would be like less like,
at the very least, engaged with the subject.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, at least I'm going to be like, oh, you know what? Like, fine, I'll try.
Look, as a teacher, that is the best thing that we could ever hear from our student. At least you'll try, right?
Yeah, because like if like say they're trying to teach me math, and then they're like, you gotta make sure that you get this right, and like you gotta make sure you gotta do it this way, and you gotta make sure that like during the end of
memorize the exam, these 10 formulas.
Yeah, exactly. Like, to me, it's like, I'm not gonna pass anyway, so why should I learn?
Yes. Or the best part, students will try to cheat the system.
I've never been like, I'd rather sleep than cheat. So
no, I mean like cheat the system, not as in like cheating the exams, but cheating the system. Oh. Like, for example, I've seen a lot of students who did this. So they would go to the exam hall, mm-hmm. and then quickly wrote down whatever it is that they have memorized on the table.
Oh.
So technically, they didn't bring any illicit materials into the exam hall. They just brought their brain.
Yeah, but then they're not relying on like what they learned, but like
exactly. So it's kind of like, how much do you understand the concept, and how much do you know how to apply those concepts in the real life, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. In a sense that grades is terrible. Although as a teacher, I have to say grades is the easiest way for us to gauge, like you mentioned before, whether we are doing our job correctly and where our students are at the moment, and then how can we help them improve, right? So it is there for that kind of reason. But I do still feel that all of the grade system comes from the requirements set by the universities. Right? Because, yeah. Well, from our end as a school, we do want to make sure that our students have certain grades so that the universities can admit them.
Accept them.
Yes. Can accept them, right? So it's that kind of process that I feel like, although I agree with you in terms of that would be a wonderful kind of like solution. Mm-hmm. But until universities change their way to accept or admit, to change their admission process, those things will still be required, right? Yeah. Because look, the reality is teachers, most of us, are still hell-bent in making sure our students achieve certain grades. Yeah. So we will take the process of telling the students what to look for, what to do, instead of really showing them how to use these concepts and these formulas and all of these things that we want to teach them that will be relevant to their lives, right? And so it's more about memorizing. It's more about repetition. It's more about drilling instead of understanding, instead of actually learning, right?
Yeah.
And I do agree with you 100% about that, which breaks my heart because I know for a fact until universities change their ways in their admission process, we're still going to stuck on that. We're going to still stuck with that kind of system of gradings, right? And how many more students are we going to demoralize because of that? Right. We haven't even talked about parents yet.
Yeah.
Right. Parents' expectations, parents' disappointments, parents' reaction to certain grades because of expectations and all those things, and how that affects, like what you said, demotivating the student, the children to want to learn or want to achieve. Right.
Mm-hmm. I was actually like really fortunate enough, like when you mentioned that, thinking back on like my high school and secondary days, where like I would come home and my report card would be like absolute, like
it's terrifying. Let's use that word, terrifying.
Like I was so like, I was just like, I don't know what, whatever. Yeah, but then like my mom, like she would never, like she would be like, yeah, disappointed, but not to the point where she was like, what are you gonna do with your life? Because I think like a part of her also knew that it just like it wasn't my thing.
Yeah.
Which is mm-hmm. why like when I got into university and I was finally able to study like what I loved, I was like, bring home A's. <You know? laughs>
And be like, see, I can get A's.
Yeah, like, I'm smart. I'm just not good at math.
Yeah. Oh man, there's just so many things that we talk about with education. And again, as someone who is in the educational world and practitioner as a teacher as well, the things that I've observed so far is just, for me at least personally, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work because we are so caught up with achieving grades. Mm-hmm. That becomes the holy grail. But that shouldn't be the case, because we are responsible for the 12 years of any student's life. But there is barely anything that students take away during those 12 years, because once they get to the to university, then they start to really, really learn. The only thing that we leave the students with would be the practical skills, which would be writing essays, critical thinking, if the school is teaching them that. What else? Public speaking, research, but public speaking, that depends on the class as well. That depends on the subject, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. If your English teacher is not pushing you to do public speaking, you're not going to speak a lot, right?
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. I mean, I would say it's like definitely like a case by case basis. Like we said earlier, like depending on the student himself or herself and what like he or she wants to achieve
in their like,
education.
Yeah, true. But at the same time, I think like I can say this based on just how our system is set up. Right? Because look, in any things, there will be outliers, right? There will be one or two freak scenarios where it's just out of the blue. This is so random. You can't even put it into the average or the common kind of like things that happening within a particular thing, right? Mm-hmm. So in this case, so let's say the education system, right? You only have, let's say, above 3 to 5% of the entire graduates that would be not taking anything away at all, right? So these are the 3 to 5% who just survive high school enough to get to university and then they thrive, right? But mm-hmm. if it goes beyond that and actually in reverse, only a few percentage of the majority that actually takes a big, takes something away from their high school years into their university, into their work life, and they credit everything to their high school days, that means there's something that we need to talk about within the system, because yeah. it's only the small percentage. Mm-hmm. For me, when we want to say, you know, it depends on the individuals, it depends on that, that is such a weak argument to have. It says, it's as if, oh, you know what, we're just going to leave it, we're just going to blame it on them. But shouldn't we also do the other part where we talk about the system and how is it still relevant right now with how the world is with the new generations? Because again, if we talk about psychologically speaking, the boomers and again, and Gen Y and the millennials and then Gen Alpha and the Gen Z, each generation is a generation for a reason. The way that each generation thinks is different, right? Mm-hmm. So the way, but wouldn't it be logical for us to approach the system differently? Right?
Yeah.
But we haven't changed anything.
It's hard. I think like I was thinking, because you and I, okay, when you work, not all like workplaces demand or like ask for your grade. So there are some that actually ask for your grade. There are some who don't. I know, I think like in some cases, like if you want to work for like the really like top tier, like multinational companies, the minimum grade that they would require of you would be like significantly higher. Whereas like in other places, they're kind of like more lenient. They're like, they just require like a 3.0 GPA, which in my opinion is already quite like flexible.
Yeah. Yeah. Because normally they will like require 3.2 and above or like 3.6 and above.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like definitely. Like, that's what I was saying. Like in the big like multinational companies, I'm pretty sure it's like 3.5 and above. Whereas like, so like I think it depends, and then like I think it also goes back, well, I mean like you said, it's not like an excuse, but it goes back to like each individual student, I guess, and like kind of like the environment that they are in, because I do believe that there are some people like me, the chuek is such a bad way to put it, but I mean like I know that like this is just like a phase, me in high school, where I was like, don't know what I want to do, don't like what I do, like just trying to revive it. But there are other people who were like really pressed about like achieving like high grades and stuff, and it's not their fault. Like I think it's like the environment that they are in. Maybe it's like their friends, maybe it's like their family, maybe it's their own expectations. But I think like I wouldn't say like one way of like combating it, but like if I had to give anybody advice about like surviving like education, or like if you're worried about like, oh, like I'm not doing good at school right now, like like would I be able to like pursue this master's degree or apply, like it's not the end of the world. Like I would say like a lot of my friends who did not like press or weren't psycho about their grades in high school, and then eventually still went on to continue their university studies, got out of university with a grade that is like barely kayak cum laude, kayak belum nyampe, tapi mereka kerja and they still perform really well in their job. Mm-hmm. So I think like the mindset, yeah, like you said, like the mindset of every generation is different. And there's like a lot of, I wouldn't say like a lot of proof, but there is like enough proof for you to believe that like even if you don't get that A right now, you will still be able to achieve a lot in the future. Like it's not the end of the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, even mm-hmm. with that advice makes a case to question, then why are schools pushing so hard for students to achieve, you know, really good grades?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So again, there are enough proof, there are enough cases, there are enough examples for us to make that kind of case, to make that kind of argument. That so then what's the heart, I guess, behind pushing students to pursue certain grades that we kind of like, we look at the end of the day, even if there is a school that kind of like say, oh, we don't really, you know, push students to achieve certain grades and this and that, but if that school only acknowledges or give appreciation to students who achieve really, really good grades,
yeah,
but never take the time to also appreciate the other students who are not doing so well, then you are still a part of the problem. Because what you are conveying, see, if you achieve good grades, we're going to appreciate you. But if you're not, yeah, then you're not worthy of appreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yeah,
even like, but I think like it's so good. It's really, really encouraging that you're able to share that to our listeners, because like you said, it's not the end of the world, because you can do so much more than what your grades are dictating right now, what your grades are telling people right now. There are so many students or people who are straight A's, 4.0 mm-hmm. GPAs, still can't get a job.
Yeah.
That's just a reality, because it all comes down to who are you as a person? What do you actually learn?
Yeah.
Right? And mm-hmm. it's just, there's just so many things. There's just so many aspects that comes into the hiring process. I know for a fact that your GPA, they will not look at the content. They will look at only the GPA. And so this is actually true. This is actually how the HR are doing it. Okay. So you have a stack of kind of like applicants' CVs, right? And mm-hmm. also the transcripts and all those things. So they will quickly go through the transcripts, sort out those who are under 3 point something, and then just discard them without even checking who they are, what they do, what they have done, what they achieve. So they just quickly just discard them. Look at all the 3 point and above, depending on how they operate, right? And then they go and sort it out by the transcripts. And then they go through it by skills, and then what by the CVs, what they have done organizationally, what they have done so far outside of academics, all of those things. So the GPA is really just like a sieve. So you kind of like just sieve through all of those who are not 3 and above,
yeah,
and you put it away, right? The craziest thing is this. Sometimes, like you said, even those who are not, let's say, performing well in universities can perform really, really well when they're doing their jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But most companies just skip those people, right?
Yeah.
It's so layered. It's just, it bothers me a lot. Honestly, it bothers me because I do believe that education is a precious thing that anyone should receive. It doesn't, it, you don't have to be, you don't have to be children to receive it. You can be an older person. You still deserve to receive an education, right? So,
yeah.
Ah, Ivana, what have we done with our world?
It's not us. We didn't do it completely.
True, true. Let me change that. What have they done to this world? Because I feel like it is complicated, right? It is complicated. It's not as easy as, you know, let's just change this, let's change that. Mm-hmm. What do you think, though? Like, what can we do better when it comes to education? What can we, how can we do better, a better job, really?
Well, like, considering the fact that, like you said, it's like not likely that we'll be like getting rid of like the grading system, because I think like that is what has been used as like a threshold to kind of like measure, and like I don't know if there's like another, it's either that or like there is no other way to measure like the progress that a student is making in terms of like what they're learning, right? And like you said earlier as well, like I think one of the valuable like things that we could actually try and practice more would be still be able to appreciate students who may not necessarily be performing as well or like hitting all those high targets. And I think like not inquiring, but more of like engaging them and asking them like, if this is not like what you're interested in, then what are you interested in? And I think like for some people, it could be hard to like express or like identify what they're interested in, especially at a very young age. But I think for some other people, like maybe they already have it figured out. They're like, I don't like this. Like I want to be studying like something else. And I wouldn't say like you have to like adjust fully to what they want or what they like prefer, but I do think it's worth like understanding that, oh, if this student like doesn't like, or like the student can't perform well in math and he or she has given me like the reason that it's because they're not interested, then I shouldn't like continue to press on for them to like keep getting, I don't know, that sounds like, that kind of sounds wrong though.
I think like, it does sound that way, because I think like people can easily counter that by saying, but then again, what about those students who are lazy?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, but I feel like if that's the argument, I would just basically say, well, then again, it comes down to, again, the student themselves, the individuals, back again to them. But as what you said before, as the teachers, as the schools, as parents as well, then if they have said that, it's part of their responsibility as well. But it's also part of our part to not be hard on them with that. So, I mean, like, I think like it's like, there are some things that we can use to measure whether it's actually true that they are not interested in this. They have tried their best. They have stayed up, like, let's say, late at night for the 2 terms, let's say. They tried their best. They have gone through tutoring. They asked this and they asked that. They're very engaged, but they still don't, you know, achieve a certain grade, right? Then we know for a fact that it's because they just can't grasp it, because this is something that they don't really, really have any interest in, right? As opposed to, let's say, for example, oh yeah, I just don't have any interest in this. And then they play around and then they skip classes or they, you know, play games.
Like low-key me.
I mean, but then again, right? So, I mean, we're just talking about like when the students are saying they're not interested in something, there has to be a certain measurement, obviously, right? To kind of like see whether this is actually the case or because they're just lazy. If they are lazy, then back again, it's on them, right? But in general, I think that's a good idea, because then we are not trying to kill any student. I think that's the heart of it. So I do agree with you on that. Yeah. It there's just so many things in my mind right now when it comes to that. It's like,
it's like, that's the thing. Like, if you think about it, like, I'm not sure that it's fixable. So I think a part of me, like, kind of accepted, like, you know, if this is how it's going to be, then, like, I have to change my expectations. Like, I can't expect, like, the education system or, like, these schools to, like, care about what I want to learn or, like,
yeah,
what interests me. So, like, I'm just going to, like,
survive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Survive. And, like, eventually when I get out, I'll do what I want to do.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like a prison.
Low-key.
I mean, low-key, it does sound like a prison. Like, you have to wear the same uniform. You have to eat the same food. Anyways, look, listeners, as much as I want to say that's a joke, I wasn't, because I do believe sometimes school can be like a prison. Metaphorically speaking, because it does shackle and hold students down. It's not until they graduate from school and then they kind of get into the real world, university and working place and whatever, that they actually thrive. They actually grow into a much better person. Right. So I agree with you, and it is fair to kind of, like, you know what, it is what it is. I'll just work around it, or kind of, like, do my best with the system that's here so far. But I think personally, just because it is what it is and it's hard to change, I do hope that this conversation can be continued and we can have a movement, hopefully, to make a change, because it is important. I do believe that we should not approach education based on subjects, but based on problem solving. Like, so instead of giving students subjects, we are giving students problems. And in order for them to solve a problem, then they have to know what subjects they need to learn, what information that they need to get. So they learn those subjects, they learn those informations and solve the problem and then move on to another bigger problem. So at the end of the day, we can grade them based on how well they solve the problems, right? And for universities, for them to be able to craft an admission test based on, let's say, for example, international relation, like the one that you're entering, right? In which case, the university can craft a test that is about the general knowledge about international relations. So the students actually have to know at least the general knowledge about international relation, right? And then added to that, the interview process to know who this person is, their values and the merit of who they are, their characters. So those are the processes that they can use to admit someone, right? We see them in pertaining to their characters, their values, their knowledge. And from that, also to check what are the things that they have done during their time in school, right? So those are the things that they can use instead of grades. So that's my take, like, on it.
It's valuable to gauge enthusiasm, because I think, like, that's one thing, like, maybe you don't know, like, you've never had prior knowledge about a certain subject, but you really want to learn about it. So generally you would have, like, some basic knowledge of it. And like you said, like, in the interview process, you can definitely ask, like, what's your motivation of studying the subject? Like, why do you want to study it? Like, what are your plans in the future for pursuing this specific subject? And I think that's like, I think it's valuable because like, at the end of the day, you can be smart, but if you don't have the motivation to learn, then, you know.
Yep. It'll be nothing. It'll be completely just a matter of blank. Because you're not going to put effort to actually learn that, no matter how smart you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, well, it has been a great conversation with you, Ivana. I think, like, the biggest takeaway from this conversation would be it is not the end of the world, because if you can find what you are actually interested in, then you will have a very different outlook in the learning process. The result shows for itself. Now you get a lot of A's, right? And a lot of those things are actually applicable to where you work right now, because it aligns with what you have learned during your time in university and the things that you are doing right now with your job. So I think that that's kind of like the beautiful thing about it. It's encouraging, I think, for our listeners to also, and especially for those who are in school, and for parents who have children, who have anyone who is in school right now and not doing so well, right? I think at the end of the day, it's a matter of finding what you are interested in and be exposed to it even more. And from that point forward, it's just pursuing it relentlessly and then enjoying the process of learning based on what you are interested in, right? And yeah, so thank you so much, Ivana. Do you have anything else that you would like to share with our list?
No, not really. I think I pretty much said everything that I wanted to say.
Okay, so but that that's great though. So that means that what we've talked about actually, you know, brings some fruit to it.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for joining us in this conversation. And honestly, all the best for your work. And I hope that if in the future we call you again to be part of our podcast, that you would just still be open to do so.
Definitely. Depends on the topic.
Depends on the topic. Yes. Depends on the topic. You can always reject whatever topic that you are not comfortable with. Okay, so thank you so much. And for our listeners, again, if you are still listening up to this point, thank you. Really do appreciate you, because I do believe that you are concerned, one, and two, interested with education. You're interested with what's going on with education and the various aspect of it, the various perspective of it. So thank you so much for listening and tuning in. This is the Not Gonna Lie podcast again by the Tea Break Room, and we will see you again in our next episode, still talking about education. So have a good day, night, whichever the case may be that you're listening in currently. I'll see you next time. See you, everyone. Bye. We'll be right back.